Okay. Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Thanksgiving. So the topic is the Golem. Figured we have Hanukkah coming up soon. It's Thanksgiving today. What better subject to jump into than the Golem? The tie-in obviously is pretty straightforward. What I'd like to do here is divide this conversation into two shorter shiurim. This one is focused more on the background of where do we find in Shas and Poskim the notion of a golem, where and when does that conversation come up. And then next time, I'd like to delve more into really a fascinating journey, a journey through history, a journey through various aspects of ancient Jewish literature. And this journey is really led by Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lyman. He is probably the greatest Orthodox historian of the 21st century. And this is one area that he has spent a lot of time exploring, and some of his findings are absolutely just fantastic. So we'll start today with some of the background and then creating that segue into the historical perspective, raising the question of, do we actually believe the Maral himself made a golem? And then next time we'll get involved with some of the findings of Dr. Lyman. Sounds good?
Yes.
So the Gemara speaks about a golem. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amar Rava. I bo tzadike boru alma. If tzadikim really wanted to, the way the Marsha explains this, as we'll see momentarily, is that Rava was saying, if tzadikim were really fully cleansed of all chatoyim, they would have the ability to create a world. Shinemar, ki avonoseichem hayu mavdilim. As it says in the Pasuk, that your avonos, your averos serve as a mechitza, as a barrier between you and me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The indication is, if you were to take away all of those mechitzos, so then just like Hashem is Bari Alma, then the tzaddik can also have the ability to be Bari Alma. Rava Bara Gavra, almost to prove his point, Rava himself created a Gavra. Literal translation of Gavra is a man. He created a man. Shadre lekaime de Rebbe Zeira, and he sent him to the home of Rebbe Zeira. You could imagine, right, getting a knock on the door, 5:45 in the morning. Rebbe Zeira, I'm sure, was up for the last few hours, learning Bahasmada at his kitchen table. He opens the door and he sees this massive Gavra. So have you called Mishtoi Bahadei? So they start a conversation together. But the only one who was talking was Rabbi Zeira, and the Gavra was not responding. So Amrlei, Rabbi Zeira said to him, Min Chavraya At, you must be a creation of one of my friends, meaning one of my colleagues who is also well-versed in Kabbalah and who learns a Sefer Yetzirah. You must come from one of my chaverim. Hoder la'afrach, return to dust. And that's what happened. And then his wife got angry. There's dust all over the floor. You could have done it outside. Why'd you let him in the first place if he's going to return? Okay. Now, I was always interested in this relationship between Rava and Rav Zeira. Because where else do we find an interesting interaction between Rava and Rav Zeira? That's the Gemara. The Gemara in Megillah, Zayin Amud Beis. Yeah, got a chaz with that. Zayin Amud Beis. We have Rava inviting Rav Zeira to his house for Purim. It sounds like there was a little bit too much Simchas Purim going on. Rava gets up and he shechs Rav Zeira. So you see, they definitely had the relationship. They were really in college together, the truth is, and they always kept up. So I wonder if this Maase in Sanhedrin historically came before the Purim Suda or after, I don't know. Okay, obviously there would be a lot to unpack in this Gemara itself, but just showing as a reference that we do have a precedent to the notion of that you might have tzaddikim who are able to create what's known as a gavra in Talmudic literature, and what we might refer to as a golem. Golem just literally means a form, because the indication would be it's the shape, it's the form of a human being, but it's lacking the tochen, it's lacking the neshama. Now, one more story from that Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rav Chanina v'Rav Oshia havu yasvi kol male shabso. Rav Chanina and Rav Oshia would sit together every Erev Shabbos. V'oske b'sefer yetzira. Right, this is a minig many of us have. Erev Shabbos, can you please start cutting the vegetables? I would love to. I'm just being osik in sefer yetzira right now. It's a shame when I'm done, we'll have them all chopped up. So they were being osik and sefer yetzira together. Umibri lehu igla tilsa. And they created an igla tilsa. Gishmak calf. Only one third grown, the perfect amount of tenderness. V'achli leh. And then they shechted that calf. And they ate it, not then and there. I'm sure they had to'amel. But they ate it, right? Lel Shabbos. Okay. And you could imagine from a financial perspective, right? First of all, if we could create our own gavra, do you know how much money we would save on security every single week, right? Out of our line items in the budget, security is up there. Create your own security team. Now imagine the money you would save on buying meat and chicken if you could just make your own. So I'm sure this was a money saver, but what you do see. Oh, so right. There are a few interesting questions that do emerge from this Gemara. First of all, is a man, a gavra created through the Sefer Yetzira, considered a full human being? The answer is obviously no. He wasn't able to speak, and we'll see in a moment from the Marsha, that's because he did not have a neshama, and it's only through having a neshama do you have the koach hadibur. And you also see that Rav Zeira had no qualms killing this thing. So obviously there's no ritzicha, there's no murder. So a golem is not a human being. We also see that an animal created through the Sefer Yetzira is kosher to eat. Now you still have many questions. Does it require shechita? Is it fleishik? Okay, these are all wonderful questions. Question in the back, yes. That's a great question also. I don't know. How do we know what gender the golem was? And this question comes up in the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. We'll get there in a moment. Anyway, Rashi says that Bara Gavra, when Rava created this golem, it was all they say for Yetzirah, Shalamdu Tziruv Osio Shel Shem. It seems like the function of the Sefer Yetzirah is that it teaches you how to combine different letters of the Shemos of Hashem. We know Kabbalistically, like the Ramban writes in his introduction to Chumash, that really the entire Torah is an infinite combinations of Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sefer Yetzirah itself goes back to what time in history? Oh, so that we have two different Mesorahs. The Rokeach writes that the Sefer Yetzirah goes back to Avram, and was actually composed by Avram Avinu, based on his own, I guess, discoveries and teachings that he was Mekabel Me'es Hashem Yisborach. And we have others who suggest maybe the Sefer Yetzirah dates all the way back to Adam HaRishon. Either way, it's a very holy Kabbalistic Sefer. The Marsha writes, when he's explaining the general concept of a tzaddik being able to create a gavra, if there is no mechitza between me and Hashem, and therefore I could be more godly in the sense of emulating that creative ability that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has. The Mashah explains that Chachmei Emes, the teachers of truth, meaning those who have a Mesorah in Kabbalah, teach us, Ki b'chol ma'isa adam nivra davar ruchani lefi ha'ma'isa. In everything that we do, every decision that we make, every word that we speak, we're creating spiritual forces. Hein tov, hein ra. Umalachei mashchis haboy me'abonoseichem. The malachei mashchis, those destructive forces or angels that are created through our being bocher bera, those are heim hayu mavdilim beinechem. Those are the barriers between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's not only Chachmei Emes that says this. We know it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah tells us that every mitzvah you do, you're creating a malach. So why was the Gavra not able to respond to Rav Zeira? The Marsha explains, Lefi shekoach haneshama shehu hadibor lo hayayacha livro. One thing that a human being cannot create is a neshama. So you could engineer an incredibly strong and perhaps absolutely brilliant artificial intelligence, but you cannot engineer a neshama. And that seems clear from the Gemara. Even the greatest of tzaddikim, lo hayyacha livro. Ulefi she'en bo neshama shua ruach ha'ole lamala, rak ruach hiyuni, shehi gam ken kebehema yoredes lamata. Because this gavra did not have a neshama, although he looked like a human being, the life force was more similar to that of an animal, so that's why he wasn't able to speak, and that's likely why Rav Zeira did not feel any issue with turning him back into dust. Halacha lemaisa. Let's just say for a moment, hypothetically, maybe not right away, but in a few years from now, Mitzvah Shem, we're all tzaddikim gemurim without any avonos being mavdil beinenu lebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll have the ability, if we choose to be osek in the Sefer Yetzirah, and to create a golem, or a few of them, and save, like we said, thousands of dollars on security. Are we allowed to do so, or is there any concern of kishuf?
I mean, they did it in the Gemara.
Okay, so one obvious answer is, if Rava did it, and Rabbi Chanina and Rav Oshia were doing it, obviously they weren't concerned for kishuf. Now maybe you could argue that the way they were doing it would be different, and if we were to dabble in that area, maybe there would be something problematic. The Tur Paskins in Kuf Ayin Tes and Yoredeya, and Kuf Ayin Tes is the simon that speaks about all the different superstitious and black magic in Yonim that we have to stay away from. The Tur Paskins, Al Yedei Sefer Yetzira Mutter Lasos Lecharchila. If you have the ability and you have that level of chasidus, you're allowed to utilize the combination of osios of Shem Hashem to create something from the Sefer Yetzirah, mutter lecharchila. However, just in case you're getting excited, the Shach over there writes as follows. Now, to give the context here, and this will be helpful when we get more into the historical background, the Shach lived around what time in history? 1622 until 1663. So that means he passed away when he was 40, 41. Now during that time, right, his few short years in Olam Hazeh, he accomplished an unbelievable amount in the realm of Torah scholarship. And he writes over here that Al Yedei Sefer Yetzirah Mutter, that's what the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin and Kuf Ayin Tes, Lasos Lechadchila the Shemos HaKodesh Heim. So he first explains, why is that the halacha? Because you're not utilizing any kind of black magic. This is not Kishuf. You're engaged in Shemos HaKodesh. And Hashem Yisborach gave Koach within these osios for the Chasidim and the Nevi'im to utilize them. V'hapoel behem, what's the point of actually doing something like this besides saving money? So v'hapoel behem mara gedulaso ugvuroso shel Hashem Yisborach. Shach teaches us that there's an incredible opportunity for Kiddush Hashem when humanity is exposed to the truth of Torah and the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So one reason why you might do it, you know, you're having a hard time selling people on the whole discovery seminar thing. and the codes were a big thing in the 90s, and now they're no longer a big thing. Forget all of that, right? Forget the Kuzari argument. Just bring a whole bunch of people in the room and say, hey guys, watch this, right? That's enough. Yemara behem geduloso gvuroso shel Hashem yizbarach. However, here's the caveat. Ach, she is osku behem bekedusha uvetahara. You could only be engaged in this kind of Sefer Yetzirah creation with holiness and purity. Uletzorich kedushas Hashem. And you're doing it for the sanctification of God. Uletzorich mitzvah rabbah. Or for a big mitzvah. Asher lo nimtza zeh bedoros halolu. And this we don't find in these generations. Meaning the level of kedusha and tahara that's required to be osik in the Sefer Yetzirah, that we don't find nowadays, b'avon oseinu harabim. V'afilu bizmanehem, and even in their times, we see that it was not at all something that was poshut to allow yourself to get into. Kol shekein bizman hazeh, she'efshir linhog b'taharu kedusha, v'rachmona liba boy. So what does Hashem want from us? If we can't reach the same madregas of the previous generations, rachmona liba boy, Hashem wants your heart. Meaning Hashem wants your sincerity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to try our best. But don't be involved with things that are way above your madrega. This is all a quote from the Atei Zov. The Shach himself says, V'devarim nechonim, and I agree 100%. V'chein nimtza bekama mechabrim dorshe rishimos, she'ein l'shtamesh b'shemos HaKodesh ki'im l'tzorech mitzvah rabbah. And we find this concept in many sources, that you should not utilize the holy names of Hashem unless it's letzorech mitzvah rabbah, for the sake of a great mitzvah. Begam b'sifrei mikubalim mavur, she'ovon godol hu lishtamesh b'shmo. We find in the sifrei mikubalim that it's actually viewed as a terrible sin to utilize Hashem's name, and therefore hamoneya yivurach. One who refrains from doing so will be blessed. What's that? Very good point. Meaning, theoretically, you could do something just based on using the tools we have, utilizing genes and technology and somehow creating a lamb and perhaps naming the lamb Dorothy, something like that, right? So, l'chara, you'd be allowed to do that. There is an interesting discussion in the poskim. Is there a violation of kelayim? Some of the Rishonim say that we have the restriction of kelayim because Hashem doesn't want us to really mess things up in the world order. But when and where that concept applies is not at all poshut. When it comes to research and medicine, we're not afraid of that bechlal. And we assume that whatever chachma we have, whatever discoveries we've made, that's all for us to utilize. But the main issue here is using the shemos of Hashem. Now I want to share with you something incredible that I saw in the Shem HaGadolim. The Shem HaGadolim is probably one of the most well-known svarim of the Chidah, where he goes through all of the great Torah giants up until his own time, including his own Rebbeim. And he gives like a quick biographical sketch on who they were, where they lived, and then he has in the back of the Sefer all of the different names of the Svarim that they authored. So when he speaks about the Shach, there's one line in the Shem HaGadolim where the Chidah writes, V'shemati me'rav echad. I heard from one, I assume, Choshuva Rav, that the Shach ha'yodeya shem ha'metzia. The Shach was aware of the shem ha'metzia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special name that gives you the ability to find everything you're looking for. Limso ha'bekiyis sherotze tekef umiyad. The Shach was able to find the bekiyis, all different issues. Kol ha'Torah kula he had in his fingertips, because he would utilize the Shem HaMetziah. That's what the Chidah quotes from Rav Echad. Now, what bothers me about this, and I don't have a good answer, but just putting it out there, if the Shach himself is writing in Yeridaya Kufayin Tas that using Shemus of Hashem is something we stay away from because we don't have that Kedusha and Tahara Bizman Hazeh, and he says, maybe Litzorech Mitzvah Rabbah, but otherwise Hamoneya Yevurach, so why would he himself use one of the Shemus of Hashem to track down all of the exotic Marimakomos throughout Shas and Poskim? Now the answer might be that maybe he felt, Kishani la'atzmi, I'm not going to brag to the world, but I think I have enough Kedusha and Tahara to do this. And maybe he felt, this is for a mitzvah rabbah. What greater mitzvah is there than writing the Shach and having this be an incredible source of chachmah for all future generations? But I just thought that was an interesting dichotomy where the Shach himself says, we don't use Shemus of Hashem, but the Chidah brings, there is a Mesorah that the Shach did use at least one of the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so now we get to the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was HaRav Tzvi Hirsch Ashkenazi. He lived from 1656 to 1718. Although you pronounce his name as a Svardi, Chacham Tzvi, he himself was Ashkenazi, as his last name indicates. Which is not always the case, by the way. You could have the last name Ashkenazi and still be Svardi. But he has an incredible shaila in his Tshuva Sefer, where he says, I was wondering about the following case. Adam ha-notzer al yaday Sefer Yetzirah. If you have a person created through the Sefer Yetzirah, ka'oso she'omru b'Sanhedrin rava bora gavra, like the case we have in the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Rava creating this gavra, v'cheinayidu al zikni, and he adds in, not only do we have this precedent from the Gemara, but my ancestor was Mayid, that Hagod Merenu Harav Elio Av based in the Chelm was involved with a situation similar to what we may know and love of like the Maral, but he's quoting this as a Mesorah that goes back to Rabbi Eliyahu Av based in Chelm, that he supposedly created a golem. Now, parenthetically, Chelm, in all of the Jewish humor, is usually painted as a city where everyone is just like backwards and silly. Do you know why we view Chelm as a backwards and just totally ridiculous place? Because of the koach of the maskilim. Chelm was actually an incredible city within Klal Yisrael in Europe, where you had massive, massive Talmidei Chachamim. And as a way of putting it down, of almost using it as a shtuch against authentic Orthodox Judaism, that town, Chelm, became the place of all of the jokes. Interesting to note. So over here we have the Chacham Tzvi saying, if you have a person created through Sefer Yetzirah, like we find in the Gemara, going back 1,500 years ago, and like I actually have Eidus, going back to my own ancestor, Eliyahu Baal Shem Tov, so mi mitztarif l'sara, l'devar matzrichim asara, kagon kadosh and kedusha. Let's say we're one man short, right? Looking for that 10th man. And officially, Shachar started 7 minutes ago. People are getting antsy. They have to go to carpool. And I woke up early to be here. Why can't he wake up early to be here? So then you have a great idea. You're thinking to yourself, 1 second. Maybe I'll run into the office, right? Grab my Sefer Yetzirah. Do a little tziruf osios of Shemus Hashem, create a gavra, Baruch Hashem, we have the 10th man. Can he count for a minyan? This is getting back to Gilad's question of, by the fact he's asking this question, it sounds like he's assuming the gender of a golem. Unless you could make him bedafka a zachar, I don't know. It's a good question. So he explains his chakira. He says, do we say that the whole idea of requiring 10 for a minyan, for any davar shebe kedusha, is based on the pasuk of v'nisakadshi b'soch b'nei Yisroel, lo mitztarev, and therefore, if there's a requirement of b'soch b'nei Yisroel, he's not a bar Yisroel. He was created from Sefer Yetzirah. So then he can't be part of that 10. O Dilma, kiven the kaimelan b'sanhedrin hamagadol yosum b'toch b'eso. If a person raises an orphan in their home, ma'ala alav akosav ki'ilu yaldo, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu views it as if you gave birth to this child because you're the one who is raising him or her. So perhaps you could say, kiven shemaisa yadeyim shel tzadikim hu, since the golem is the product of tzadikim, then havilei b'chlal b'nei Yisrael, because he came from whoever it was that created him. He had to be a tzaddik. He's using the shemos hakadoshes, but lemais is a tzaddik himself. So maybe he is considered a bar Yisrael. Now, one of the greatest questions on this tshuva is, it might be an interesting hypothetical, theoretical question, but why would you introduce this into your tshuva sefer? This has l'chora no application, halacha l'maisa, at all. Unless it does. Right. Now, it could very well be, with, you know, as we journey into the world of AI, there might be more applications based on this tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. It's also interesting to note the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Nun Hey, where he speaks about the requirement of having 10 men for any davar shebe kedusha, he does quote this Chacham Tzvi. He has one line where he says, by the way, regarding the shayla of if a golem could count for the 10th man, take a look at the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. So the same question one would ask on the Chacham Tzvi himself, why are you bringing this question up? L'chora, that's even more of a question on the Chafetz Chaim. Right? In the early 20th century, how often is anyone able or allowed to create a golem? Why would you incorporate this line into the Mishnah Berurah? Now, one last source I want to look at together is Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. And in the Shelas Yaivitz, he has a tshuva Simon Pei Beis where he speaks about the question his father was addressing. Behold, the besapkale lemar abba besifro, benotzer al yaday sefer yetzir imitztarif lasara. Regarding that question, my father was osek in his sefer. Kosev besefer chasal. Anyone know what the acronym is? Ches samech lamed. Chasal, Siddur, Pesach, no. So I think it stands for Chesed L'Avram, the Sefer Chesed L'Avram. Who was the author of the Sefer of the Chesed L'Avram? Rav Avram Azulai, the grandfather of the Chidah. So the Yaivit says, I found in the Chesed L'Avram, She'ein chiyusa ala kechiyusa behema, that the life force of this Gavra, Golem, is no different than the life force of a behema. Ulachain ein bahirigaso shumaveira. And that's why there's no isur vritzicha. It's not considered murder to turn this thing back into dust. Im kein pshita de'eno elike behema b'tsuras adam. It's the life force of an animal b'tsuras adam. And obviously, therefore, it cannot count as a tenth man. Agav azkir kan mashi shemati mipeh kodosh. I also want to mention here what I heard directly from his holy mouth, Avi Mori Harav Zal, from my great father, the Chacham Tzvi, which we saw in the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi, he alludes to himself, Mashakora Ba'osu Shenotzar Aya De Zikno Hagon Rebbe Eliyahu Bal Shem Tov Zal. The golem that was created through his grandfather, Rebbe Eliyahu Bal Shem Tov. Ki ache shero holich v'godol ma'od. My father told me that after the great Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem Tov saw that the Gavra, the golem he created, was growing and getting out of control, Nisyara shelo yachriv ha'ola. He was concerned this thing might destroy the entire world. Again, it sounds very similar to AI, right? Al Kain, lokach v'nosach mimenu Hashem shehayadovuk adayin b'mitzcho. So what he did is he took part of the shame, pashup shat that means shame Hashem, part of the shame Hashem that was still on the forehead of the golem, he took part of it off. And then immediately the golem was returned to dust. However, as he was trying to take off one of those letters of the shame from the forehead of this golem, he was struck, and that's why he has a scar in his own head. It was from his interaction with the golem. It's a good thing to tell people, you know, when you're limping or something, you know. Oh, what happened? Whatever. I had to take one of the osios of the Shem Hashem off of the metzach of the Baruch Hashem worked out. You should see him. He's a pile of dust. Okay. So we have the Shach telling us in his commentary to Yoredeya, which is in the mid-1600s, that nowadays we should not be involved with any of this stuff. Yet we have the testimony of the Yaivitz and the Chacham Tzvi saying that their grandfather or great-grandfather, he himself did make a golem. Now, I would assume he lived 50, 70 years prior. We're not talking about hundreds of years. When did the Maral himself live? So we don't know when he was born, but we do know that the Maral died in 1609. So not that long before the Shach. The Shach was born in 1622. And he wrote this commentary in Yoredeya when he was like four. So it wasn't that long after the Maral himself died. And the Shach is mashma that it's not Shaykh Bedoros Halalu. So if you were to ask the Shach, do you think it's reasonable to assume the Maral himself made a golem only a couple decades prior to your stay in this world? The Shach himself might be somewhat skeptical. Or he might tell you, listen, the Maral, he can do whatever he wants. He's the Maral. He's in a whole different bechina, a whole different dimension of existence. What's going to be interesting is next time we're going to analyze where do we find in Jewish literature any mention of the Maral creating the golem? When is the first time that appears, right, on the scene of history? And if he really had a golem in Prague, how many people lived in Prague during the 1600s? More than three or four, right? There were hundreds of thousands of people all in that area. So we would assume likely there is some documentation of, hey, the Maral himself was well known and revered in Prague, not only amongst the Jewish community, but amongst the non-Jews as well. Hence that beautiful statue that still stands. So we would assume there should be documentation from other great contemporaries at that time. However, the first we really see any indication that the Maral created a golem is in this Sefer Niflos Maral, which was printed in 1909. To be continued next time.